Luke chapter 11. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word that reveals You, Lord, first of all, Your greatness and Your goodness, and all of Your character. Thank You for this section of Scripture that teaches us how great and good You are. So, Lord, our prayer is today that we would be able to grasp the depth of those truths. Lord, that You would open up our hearts to receive from You today, Lord, and I would ask that it would be a miracle that You would do through the preaching of Your Word, God, that You would cause us to draw near You and maybe give us a deeper understanding of who You are and who we are in Christ. I ask now, Lord, as the Good Shepherd, that You would please feed Your sheep. God, would You anoint me to preach Your Word during this particular service? Cause me to be led by Your Spirit, Lord, so that You would be glorified. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, can we shut that music off in there? Well, good morning, everyone. Wow, good morning, everyone. There we go, a little better. We have around this, on the outsides of this room here, we have what we call core values of this church. The core values are how we determine how we're going to, when we're looking at something to fulfill the vision of the church. These are some of the things that play into whether we will or won't do something or how we'll do it. And one of the core values that we have as a church is right over here. We are to be reliant on God through prayer. It's one of our core values. We want to use that truth to undergird a lot of the things that we do at this church. But if truth be told, it is one of the two hardest things to start and maintain in the church and also in your personal life. The other one being evangelism, outreach. It's very difficult, those two areas. And it seems like when you get it going, it's very hard to keep it going. And once it is going, to kind of grow in it. And prayer is one of those two. It's very difficult for us. I know in my own personal life it can be very, very hard. You know, there's times when you just kind of go through the motions. And I don't think that's what God wants. As I looked and I examined my own life, I see how prayer at times, and I'm in kind of a season where I just feel, boy, God, there's more. And I just feel like I'm not where I could be in the Lord in this area. And I thought, well, why do I struggle? Why do other people struggle with prayer? Why is it so hard to pray? First of all, I think one of the reasons is that we have an enemy, Satan, and he doesn't want you to pray because he knows prayer can be very effective. And so he's going to do everything he can to stop you from praying. Everything from trying to stop you from even getting into a prayer group. I remember when I was a new Christian, I didn't really know how to pray, and I heard about this room. It's called the prayer room. And I went, oh, I bet you the people that know how to pray are there. So really, a spiritual gift of common sense, right? And so I went into the prayer room, but it was funny how I had to battle, because here's some of the things that went through my mind. But you can't pray like those people. They really know how to pray. You don't want to go in there. Seriously, that's the battle that I was having. And I got in there, and I remember sitting in this room for like 6 months, not even praying, just listening, learning how these people that just love to pray. And I heard something I'd never heard before. People were actually praying Scripture. I never heard that before. And so what the enemy was fighting. He didn't want me to go into that room. He didn't want me to be a part of that. And so we have an enemy. And I think that a lot of times we need to understand that our struggle in prayer can be because the enemy doesn't want us to pray. I usually I talk about this too. Even when you're in your prayer closet, it's amazing how all of a sudden you're focusing on the fact that, boy, that shade there is a little crooked, isn't it? Yeah, boy, that's terrible how crooked that shade is. Isn't it crazy? It happens to me all the time. So we have an enemy who resists us praying. Here's another reason. The world. We get so busy. You know, it's amazing to me in my own personal life. I have enough time to sit down and watch a three-hour football game, but I don't have 10 minutes to pray to the Lord. I'm just being honest in my own life. I'm too busy, right? I got this to do, and it's like, okay, I'll get all this stuff done, and God's at the end. And if I have time at the end of the day, which you never have, or you're so tired, then everything is more critical than prayer. Busyness. Some of it is just sheer laziness on my part. It is. I got other things to do, or I don't really feel like it. I'd rather just shut my mind off and watch one more TV series or something. And I think the other one is this. Ease of life. You know, it's amazing how much I can pray when things are going bad. But when things are going good, I don't think about the Lord as much. And my prayer life isn't as urgent. You know, so you get some bad news or something happens and it's amazing. We get into prayer. We go to God. Why? Because we understand that only He can help. So the ease of life is another one. Another reason I think we struggle in prayer is we start questioning prayer's effectiveness. We get to that place, you know, when you're first a believer, it seems like everything you pray for happens, right? And then there comes this time where you start praying, and you interpret that God hasn't answered. Okay, from our perspective, God didn't answer. Or He didn't give us the answer we wanted, or He didn't give us the answer we wanted in the time we wanted Him to give it to us. So what happens is we become disillusioned with prayer, and then something very scary happens. We cross a threshold. And that threshold is this. We start saying in our heart, prayer doesn't work. Prayer is not effective. And any time you cross that in any part of your life, whatever you were doing, now you're not going to be passionate and pursue it because it doesn't work. Why would I do that? And so we get to that place maybe where, you know, things don't respond. And one of the areas that I want to touch in this series on prayer is going to be, well, what about prayer? How does God answer prayer? Does He always answer prayer? We've got a lot of questions we're going to try to answer in His next in this series. So we question prayer's effectiveness. And there's another reason that I find that I've struggled with in my own life. Theologically, there's a theological barrier. Here it is. If God has predestined everything, why should I pray? It's all determined. It doesn't make any sense. It's a waste of time. Those are all struggles that we've faced at different times in our lives. And we're going to try to address those through this prayer series. My hope is that it wouldn't be just these questions, but it would go beyond that. And if you have things, you know, Pastor Dan, can you address this or that? Send me an email. It's probably already in the plans. I had a certain structure that was going to be just this many, and now as I'm studying and looking deeper, it's going like this. And so I'm saying, you know what, God, this is so important because of what prayer is. And so this series is going to, who knows how long it's going to go on. I'm trusting that God's got it in His hands. And so if you have questions, send them to me. But I wanted to start today with the basics. I want to start at the bottom because too many times I think we assume things of people that we all know that. Of course we know that. And sometimes we need just a refresher course. Oh yeah, I kind of got off. You know, I used to believe that about prayer, but I don't anymore. I wonder why. Somebody caught me in between services and said that. I used to really, you know, have this belief and truth about prayer, and it was active in my life. I don't know how I got off, how I drifted. And I'm really hoping that this series helps me to understand that and get back to that passionate prayer life that I had. So I'm starting on the bottom. What is prayer? Prayer is a divine mechanism where we can communicate with the God of the universe anytime, anywhere, and under any circumstance. So it's an opportunity to communicate anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance, with the very Creator of the universe. Take a look at God's Word. We read Luke, so I won't reread that, but it's just talking about seek and you will find, ask and it will be given to you. But look at James chapter 5, 16, verse B. The prayer of a righteous person has great power. Now see, right away the enemy jumps in here and says, well, I'm not righteous, so my prayer doesn't have any power. You are righteous in Christ. So the prayer of a Christian has great power. Do you honestly believe that? Seriously. We have to intellectually say, oh yeah, of course, it says it in the Bible. But do you believe that? Do you really believe that your prayer has great power? Not because of who you are, but because of who Christ is. But it has enough, there's power in prayer, because that's what the Word of God says. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And then he takes, James takes a parallel. He says, Elijah, you guys all put Elijah up here. Elijah was just like you are. He was a sinner. That's the point here, is that guess what? Elijah was just like us. He was a Joe, common guy. Now, God had a special calling on his life, and I get that. But Elijah, he was like you and I. Put his pants on one leg at a time if they had pants back then. And it says this, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Saying the prayer of a righteous person has a lot of power because of who God is. Now all this, why did Elijah ask that, and etc. We're going to get into that. Not going to go into it today. But what about that? Do you believe that truth? That you can at any time, anywhere, communicate with the Creator of the universe. It's called prayer. Now I'm going to say something that might shake some people up, is that this. The only prayers that God promised to hear are prayers of a believer. Whoa, now wait a minute, Dan. Let me define here. First of all, I know that God is omniscient and omnipresent, so He hears everything. He hears what's in your head right now because He's God. So when I say hear, I don't mean that He technically doesn't hear the prayers of unbelievers. What I mean by that is this, that He does not listen with a sympathetic ear and answer when that prayer is according to His will, generally speaking. What do I mean by that? Let me give you a word picture. If I have a child and that child makes a request of me, I have a special way of hearing that request. If I have an enemy and they make a request of me, I hear it differently, don't I? Much more likely because of my child to respond. That's the type of hearing. Now, it doesn't mean that God doesn't hear any prayer of someone who is not a Christian, because that's not true either. Part of the reason that God answers prayer in those situations is to show His goodness and His mercy and His kindness. When people are in a hard situation, they cry out to God, and God responds. He's hearing their prayer. They don't know Christ, but He's showing His kindness and His goodness. He may be responding to their prayer as part of His process in drawing them to Himself, showing His greatness. But generally speaking, God only promises to hear the prayer of a believer. He still does respond. And one of the prayers that God will always hear from someone who does not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, is the prayer of salvation. That acknowledgement that, Lord, I am a sinner separated from You. I've lied, I've stolen, I've done these things, and I have violated Your laws, and because of that, I deserve punishment. And so, Lord, I acknowledge that, and I ask You to forgive me. Please, God. And I ask that I would receive the gift of salvation because of Jesus dying on the cross for my sins. So I ask You, God, to forgive me and be the forgiver of my life and the leader of my life. And we repent. God will always answer that prayer. Always. That's our God. But as we look at the Word of God and do your own study, generally speaking, God does not make a promise to respond to the prayers of people who are not Christians, who are unbelievers, is the term that we'll use. And the reason being is because the cross is always the foundation for all prayer. The cross is the foundation. That's what gives us confidence, doesn't it? How can I go, when you think about it, it's this wonderfully awesome, scary thing. Because you're going what? You're going into the very presence of the living God, the Creator, when we pray. So how can we do that? Well, because of the blood of Christ. That foundation of the cross is always there. And so we can go in confidence, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is for us and in us. And so what happens is we can go boldly into the throne room and ask God because of who Jesus is. So that's the foundation. That's why God hears the prayers of believers and responds to them. Now, prayer is made up of a whole bunch of different things that can come together. You have worship or praise as part of that. Okay? You have confession of sin. You have thanksgiving, thanking God for things. Those are all part of prayer. As a matter of fact, one of the things I want to go through in this series is the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, and kind of take that apart and say, okay, here's one section. Look at this. Here's praise. Look at how he's focusing here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Whoa, on earth as it is in heaven. And so we're going to take a look at that. But if we break it all down, if we kind of get down to the bottom line of prayer, the essence of prayer is expressing our dependence on God through requests. But it's more than just that. But when we get right down to it, when you think of your own prayer life and you say, okay, when I sit down and I pray, what percentage of it is making requests? It's the vast majority of it. That's what it is. So that's kind of where we're going from. We're kind of looking at that. We're saying, okay, that's where most of us start. And we look at prayer and we go, that's kind of it. It's kind of we bring our lists to God. And we all have our prayer list, don't we? I know I have mine. You know, okay, here it is. And I got to start here. And I got to do that. And don't forget to pray over this. And so we have our big lists. And they're always sitting down and making requests of God. And I think that that's a good thing. But prayer is so much more. And yet, I think so many Christians, that's all it is. It's just sitting down and making some quick requests, kind of more concerned about checking it off of our list as I'm done with that for the day, than really understanding prayer. And my hope, my passion for this series is that we would grow in our understanding of prayer and our delight in prayer. One of the things we need to realize is this, that prayer is a way for us to commune and communicate with the living God. Commune and communicate with the living God. Christian life without prayer is like a marriage without communication. You have the bond, but you lack the intimacy. Oh, we're married. Got the piece of paper to prove it. Oh, no, and then I'm committed to him or her. You talk, no, we don't talk a whole lot. Well, how can you have intimacy? You can't. And so when we look at this relationship that we have with Christ, and if it's truly a relationship, then there has to be this communion, this time of communicating with each other. And that's what prayer is for. That's why it's so important in our Christian walk. Prayer is a two-way conversation with God. Two-way. Now, I know that's going to short-circuit some people. Are you telling me God still speaks today? Yes, God still speaks today. Number one way, through His Word. But He also speaks through His Spirit. And I can honestly say that I get most of my direction in my life from God. Little things like, Dan, call so-and-so today. Encourage him or do this in my prayer time. So yes, it is a two-way communication. I'm going to go into that. I'm going to spend some time talking about what does this look like. Because that's foreign to a lot of people. It's just a one-way communication, bringing my list before God and occasionally saying the right thing. Oh, okay, our Father, okay, praise you, God. And then we kind of move on to the next thing. But it's so much more. I think we've been robbed of the delight of prayer. But it's this two-way communication or conversation with God that includes ingredients of all excellent interpersonal communication. And we're going to talk about that. What does that look like? You know, part of it is this. I'm listening, but I'm also speaking. And part of the beauty of prayer is this, is that when I pray, I have this opportunity to express who I am to God. He already knows that. So what? But it's also a time for me to get to know God. It's a sweet fellowship in prayer. And there's this ebb and flow that happens in prayer that is just so wonderful. You know, it's just like this. The best way, it's just like the waves coming in and out. And that can be how your prayer time is. This beautiful orchestra of God. And as you read His Word and you pray and all these beautiful things happen in prayer. That's what God wants. It's this two-way conversation. Now, as I said, God could just read our minds. So why doesn't he? Why did he command prayer? He doesn't need it. And that's not like we're informing God. Oh God, I'm asking you to help Mary. She lives two houses down on the other side of the street. God doesn't know where Mary lives? So what happens is, we're not going there to inform God. He knows it all. That's why he's omniscient, the term we use. So why? Why does God ask us to pray? Because when we express ourselves to God in things he already knows, it binds our hearts to his. It's like a husband and a wife. You know, we assume, well, they know I love them, so I don't have to say it anymore. Well, they do know that you love them. So should you stop saying it? No. Why do you keep saying it? Because it bonds your hearts together. Sometimes our spouses can finish our sentences. So should we not say it? What happens is prayer is this beautiful picture of where we express ourselves to God. He already knows those things. But God is using that to draw us close to him. It's this conversation back and forth, prayer. That's the delight of prayer. It's just being in the presence of the living God. That's what prayer is for. God commands us to pray, even though he can read our minds, for the same reason that we should do everything else in our life. You know, we like to say this here all the time. You know, it's for the glory of God and for our joy, right? Why would we do that? For the glory of God and for our joy. So should prayer be any different? I mean, we're supposed to do everything to the glory of God for our joy, right? So shouldn't that be prayer too? So why do you pray? To check it off my list. No, I pray for the glory of God and for my joy. Okay, so how do we process that? How do we move in that? Well, first of all, let's take a look at God's Word. John chapter 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do. Now this is Jesus speaking. Because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, prayer. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Now what does that mean? We'll go into that in the series. So we can ask anything, right? Woo-hoo! Jackpot! Nope. So what does Jesus mean by that? You ask anything. It goes on. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Why does God respond to prayer? Because it glorifies him. That's why. Why would we pray? Because it glorifies God. It's not a duty. If you want to know, boy, I don't even know how to glorify God. Pray. That's one way. Just glorify God by praying. And we'll explain that. It goes on. In Romans 8:31-32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Wow. Is that true or not? God is basically saying in his word, listen, I gave my son, Jesus, the most precious thing, all the universe, most precious one, the great treasure, the pearl of great price. What makes you think I'm going to withhold anything good from you? Everything else is lesser. So what does that mean? What does that mean that anything I ask? We'll address that. What does that look like? But we need to know that our Father loves us. And he cares for us. And there's this beautiful thing called prayer. This wonderful conversation of just being with the Father. I remember I had a grandfather, my grandfather Crevillian, and he lived on a farm. And every summer we'd go over there, me and my cousins. I had three cousins, and we'd always go to my grandpa's place for a week. You know, it was a big deal. And he lived like 5 miles away from me, but it's still cool. And every afternoon, my grandpa would take us into the barn, right? He had this huge barn. We'd go play in the hay. And my grandpa would come, and we had this hay rake, and he'd had this gray, like, military cover. He'd pull that cover out, he'd flip it out, and he'd put it on the edge of the hay mow. And he'd just lay there, right? But man, I was with my grandpa. And my cousins were with my grandpa. And that was great because we were with our grandpa. And even though we were doing other things, we were with the grandpa. And every now and then we'd sit down and we'd just ask grandpa questions. Hey, grandpa, what about this? And he'd tell us stories. In his Belgian brogue. Oh, yeah, Dan. We had this steak, you know. And my plow horses, they go down the road. And all of a sudden, Dan, my horse, she rear up like this, Dan. I can just see him saying it right now. And you know, I took my shovel, Dan. I took it off, went around, we cut that snake's head off. We put her on the post, Dan. Snake went all the way up the post down to the other. That's a big snake, Dan. I love that. Even when I wasn't talking to my grandpa, but he was there. And I had this fellowship, and he was there. And I think prayer is that ebb and that flow throughout the day that we're in the presence of our God. And he delights in that. And we delight in him. Prayer glorifies God because it shows us that we're delighting in him. It shows the world that we're dependent upon him. That's what prayer does. That's how it glorifies God. Saying, I need you because I can't handle it, and only you can handle it. That glorifies God. It affirms his greatness. And prayer proclaims, you know what, I genuinely believe that you are wise, God. That's why I'm asking you for your direction. Wow! I get a lot of people that come to me and ask me for counsel. And it's so easy to get arrogant about that. But with God, he truly is all wise. And so when people come to him and ask him for wisdom, that just proclaims his greatness. It says, you know, I'm needing you, God. Please, Lord. So again, it glorifies him. We come to him when we're broken down, when we're hurting. When we don't feel we're worthy, because we're not, but because of the blood of Jesus, we can come boldly. And we know that our God loves us and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that proclaims his greatness again and glorifies him. Because I'm coming to you when I'm broken, when I'm all messed up, and you don't reject me. And we come to him when we need something to happen that we are completely out of our control. And we come to him saying, I'm proclaiming your greatness, God. You are the God who created this entire universe out of nothing. You spoke it. And I'm coming to you, first of all, because of who you are, that I can. And secondly, nothing I ask of you is impossible if it's in your will. So we show this, we glorify God when we come to him in prayer because we're proclaiming his greatness. We're proclaiming him the great giver. He's the great giver. And we are in desperate need. He is all sufficient. He has everything. And we are in terrible need. So we come to the giver of the universe. And it's always more glorious to give than to receive, isn't it? It takes humility to say, I need help. God is always the giver. And he delights in being the giver. So when we come to him in prayer and we bring our requests, he delights in that. It's glorifying his name that we're even asking him. Because we're saying, I need you. And so that's why prayer glorifies God. Because it's proclaiming who he is and who we are. And we're in desperate need of him. So prayer, its first purpose is to glorify our great God. It shows us that he is all sufficient and we are needy. Take a look at God's word, Romans chapter 11. I love this. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? What can you give God? He needs nothing. He has everything. He's the great giver. And I love this. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Amen. You see, prayer wonderfully glorifies God. That's why we should just delight in our prayer time. Yeah, I'm going to go glorify God. Let's just pray for the next 10 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. I'm going to glorify God. All that God does is first for his glory. And second, for our good. Second, for our good. So that's got to be true about prayer too, right? There's got to be something for us. We say, well, our stuff that we get. No. That's like down here. There's something that happens in prayer. Prayer provides us with sweet fellowship with the living God. It's terrifying and exhilarating all at once. Isn't it? That we get to sit at the feet of Jesus and He hears. Says He knows every detail of our lives. He knows the thoughts you're having right now. He knows it all. And yet He welcomes us, commands us, come. We just spend this fellowship with God. And that's so strange for some people in their prayer time. Because it's just a one-way thing. It's just a list of things that I got to check off. I got to pray for my missionaries. And oh, there's these three this week. And then next week it'll be somebody else. And I got to pray for this. And I got to pray for that. And there's just not this, oh, I want to just sit at the feet of Jesus. And I'm going to start my prayer, oh Lord. Open up your word and see, oh, great is our God. Worthy to be praised. And you are so great, God. And you just rest on that. And there's this sweet fellowship that happens. This ebb and this flow that happens in a prayer time. As this two-way communication goes back and forth and God reveals Himself through His Word and you express yourself to your God and just this beautiful thing starts happening. That's our God. That's prayer. And God's using this as He draws us into fellowship with Him. You see why the enemy fights so hard to keep you from prayer? He draws, God will draw us in. And so we have this beautiful fellowship with Him. The living God, the Creator of all things. And you see, that's why we need to say things that He already knows. Because it's part of our hearts bonding with God. We can express it. So many times, I don't even know how to say this. He knows. We're afraid to tell that spouse or that good friend something because they're going to feel like this in our eyes. They're going to say, oh, well, if I tell them I'm struggling with this, they'll feel like this about me. They won't like me or they won't whatever. But God already knows. So if we express it to Him, we're not giving Him information. What's it for? It's for our hearts. That God is doing something miraculous in our prayer time. So we have prayer benefits us in that it's a sweet fellowship with our God and it deepens our delight in Him. It causes us to stand in awe of Him. And the other thing that we probably don't realize is, did you know that prayer is part of God's sanctifying process in your life? Sanctifying is a big word meaning basically God making us more like Jesus, more holy. Prayer is part of that. We just think it's a time to bring list. Prayer is this beautiful picture of God doing something in our lives. When you're sitting in a prayer time, and as you're praying and you're reading, and all of a sudden God convicts you of sin. I mean, He does that to me. That's a time He convicts me of my sin. So many times. Isn't that a good thing, a sanctifying thing? You know, I'm praying, God, please help so-and-so. They're dealing with pride. They're self-righteous. Help them, Lord. God's a damn, look in the mirror, pal. And sometimes I feel it's just like that. He kind of chuckles a little bit and says, Dan, look in the mirror. You know, there's some things we've got to deal with. And you're like, okay, Father. So you see that it's part of that process. It's part of the sanctifying process. That sin is revealed in my life. I'll tell you what. It's hard to hate somebody if you're praying for them. Right? I mean, somebody just bothers you and God says, okay, I want you to pray for them. No, God, I don't want to pray for them. And then we pray that prayer. Oh, God, just, you know, bring your judgment on them. Right? No, Dan. And so what happens is God's using that prayer time for me to make me more like Jesus. Dan, love your enemies. Pray for them. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? First one, love is patient. You know, we keep praying and praying and praying and we don't get the answer we want. Maybe God won't give us that answer. But God is teaching us patience in prayer. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's all good stuff. So prayer is actually part of God's sanctifying process in our lives. You see how we benefit from prayer? We're so worried about getting our stuff or getting it the way we want it that we miss the main points of prayer. We've been praying and we're looking at it being for the person of one thing. It's for the glory of God. It's for our benefit. And so prayer now changes. It shifts. We have this dynamic in our head that this is what prayer is. And all of a sudden God comes in and says, now wait a minute, time out. I'm going to shake it all up. Because I love you. And that's my prayer for this series. That God would shake us to the core. That God would shake me to the core. That He would take our prayer lives and breathe life into them. Because I think so many times in my own personal life, it's just dry bones. And I want life, God, to breathe that life into my prayer life. Prayer is this beautiful two-way conversation with God that glorifies Him and blesses and benefits us. It's consistent with everything in our life. The purpose, the glory of God. And for our joy. That's what prayer's for. And I'm asking you to join me in this wonderful adventure into prayer. I'm asking you to pray with me that God would just pour out His Spirit upon this church and that prayer would be one of those things that He would deepen in us. That we would go into deep places with our God. That as He draws us in, that we would start delighting in Him more. We would look at prayer differently. And maybe some of the things that we have just assumed in the past because that's what it was, or things we've never experienced, God would do a miracle in this body, in me, in you. And our passion for our King and our Lord would grow because He's working His passion for prayer in us. And not only that, but as He does this miracle, He starts transforming us. We start having the heart of the living God. And you'd be surprised how that changes the way you pray. So that's the adventure we're on. Again, I started out, it's going to be 3 weeks. And I just felt like the Lord was saying, no, Dan. I got bigger plans. And I'm excited. And I hope you are too. But please be in prayer for me and for this body that God would do a miracle in us. That He would draw us into these deep places with Him. And we would stand in awe of our God as we just fellowship with Him, glorify His name, and stand in awe as we see what God is going to do in our lives and through our lives for His glory. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, even at this very moment, we are in the presence of the living God. And we come boldly, not because we have anything to bring, because we're just broken. But we come boldly because of our Savior Jesus. And we know that You hear because of Him. And so we ask You to do a work, a miracle in this body. That You would give us a passion for prayer, a delight in You. And God, that You would destroy any false ideas we have about prayer. And reconstruct our understanding of who You are and what prayer is. So God, do this miracle so that You would be glorified. And we would once again have another reason to stand in awe of You. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand and continue to praise God.